Good morning. This morning, I'm going to talk about hiding places. But not necessarily all the hiding places that you typically think of. To begin with, I want you to take a moment and I want you to think about how do you escape? In my normal, everyday work life, I come across a lot of things that I find to be very stressful. From the student who suggests that they hate their life pretty much every single day, to high-stakes testing, which is starting on Monday. Yep, excellent. And evaluations and making sure that my job is done on time and making sure that I don't spend so much time at my job that I'm ignoring my family. And, you know, there's a pretty long list of all these things that are going to be stressful for someone who's working on a regular basis. And there's always deadlines, and there's always family, and there's always these other commitments that are going on. And sometimes you have 6 meetings all booked for the exact same time in 3 different locations. And I've been there and I've done that one. Just in the last 3 months. So at some point in time, as human beings, we occasionally need outlets for our stress. And this can come in a wide variety of different ways, formats. Oops. Little things falling, no big deal. You know, and for some people, one of the ways that they can get past that is they can read. Probably not this book. This book is called Lost at School. It was suggested to me by a fellow coworker. This is more of a workbook than a fun book, but it's next on my reading list. So there you have it. Some people, what they do is they play video games, and any child today who does not have a video game with them, lucky parents. Okay? Sometimes the way that you can escape is by being with and associating with other people. Now, not a lot of people get relaxation from associating with other people, but it does happen for some people. Other people, they get it from sleeping a lot in some cases. Movies can be a great escape, or it could be comic books. I'm pretty sure I have that one in here too. Not just any comic. Ooh, that's a collector. Yeah. Or at least it will be. Action Comics number 1000. Just came out. We'll be a collector someday, don't worry. Some people get it by listening to music, some people do it by coloring, some people have little fidget toys they play with. And in case you hadn't realized, all of these so far are mine. I have every single one of these. These are all things that I do to help myself escape. There was a little bit of a shock and a surprise just on Friday night. We're at my parents' house, and I'd just gotten off of a... That day was 11 hours. The previous day had been 13. 11 hours of working, and I got over to my parents' house for dinner. And Mike's sitting there in the back with his game all set up for 5 players. And Josh is back there sitting with him, and he gets Thad and Nathaniel to go over there, and then I still haven't gone over there. Which they will all tell you that usually I'm one of the first people to be over there. And I was just so worn out. Because that is another one of the things that I like to do to help me escape, is to play those games. But I just wasn't even having the energy for it there on Friday. Other people have much better pursuits than mine. You know, like they build things. Other people, they've got all of these different things that they do. One of the things that they've been trying to teach at my work is this new, it's really not new, the name of it is newer, called mindfulness. And I have been through training for mindfulness, and I'm going to give you a brief sample of it really quickly here. This is very minor, this is very low end, and I will tell you that the further you go down that rabbit, well, we'll get there. All right, so we're going to go ahead, we're going to do a quick little mindfulness activity. So everybody over the age of, 6, because if you're under 6, good luck with this one. Please pay attention. Please follow along. You all need to just kind of sit up straight, please. Square your shoulders a little bit. Okay. Put your feet nicely on the floor. They do suggest that you sit in the lotus position for this, which if you don't know what that is, good for you. It'll all be fine. Okay. Ready? Now, currently you're all doing something, and most of you aren't even thinking about the fact that you're doing it. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to think about the fact that you are breathing. Okay? This does not mean start immediately taking deep breaths. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about the breath as it goes in and it goes out. Okay? And I want you to think about how long it takes for that breath to come in and out. Okay? And I want you to just pay attention as the breath goes in and it goes out. Now I want you to take a moment and instead of just breathing through your nose, breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose, please. And as a general point of reference, you should take about 6 seconds for your breath to go in and out. Okay, and if I really wanted to complete this activity, then I'd have you all close your eyes and keep doing this. But if I were to do that, I'd fall asleep. You're not supposed to do this for a full minute. And if I do that, I'll probably fall asleep. Because a lot of hours right now. Okay, so did you all feel that? Okay, did it help clear your mind? To a certain extent, yes, it does. But this is one of the harmless, more harmless ones. Because all it is just focusing on one of those little things. But there is some ideas that go into this one and some of the other ideas of escaping reality that I want us to think about for a moment. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 15, Isaiah writes, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, 'We have entered into a covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge, and falsehood our hiding place.'" Now, of course, in the days of Elijah, the people didn't actually say, "Oh, well, you know, lies are our hiding place. We're hiding in a lie." In modern day, they still don't say that. But here's one of those little things about all of these things that I've mentioned up to this point so far. I can read this comic book. In fact, I already have. And does that get me out of reality? No, it doesn't. It may give me a minute or two where I forget about things, but as soon as I'm done reading, it's back and everything's still there. I can play the video games. Does that make my problems go away? Of course not. You can look at something like the mindfulness training, and that gets further and further into meditation techniques as you go into it, but it's based on nothing. There is nothing solid behind any of these things. And so what is it that they are filled with? Now, used in the right way and in the proper perspective, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. I will tell you, I love board games because it helps me interact with other people. It helps build bonds between friends. And as Christians, that's one of the things we ought to do. I enjoy reading the comic books because I'm able to go around and talk to people about the comic books. You know, there's one of my fellow co-workers that's one of the major things we bond about is we talk about comic books all the time. And that's one of the ways that we talk to our students is we deal with comic books and some of the ideas that are in there. You know, would Superman approve of this, guys? And generally the answer if I ask the question is no, he wouldn't, just so you know. And these are things that can be used for good purpose. But if they're used as an escape, if they're used to try to get us out of reality, then at the end of the day, they don't do anything at all. They are a refuge made of lies. They're a hiding place made of falsehood. However, there is a refuge, there is a place, there is a hiding place that is available to us. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. What does this do? The things that God has given to us, the things that God has said to us, gives joy to the heart. It allows us an opportunity and an ability to be more at peace than anything that this world has to offer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Last week, we watched a movie as a family, The Greatest Showman, which I will say is a good movie. And afterwards, talked to my children, you know, what message did you get out of this? And one of the messages that one of my children, I believe this was Keturah, got out of the movie. Oh no, it wasn't Keturah because she didn't watch it. She refused to come and watch it. That's what it was. Sorry. Wrong child. Silly girl. Anyway, one of the messages one of my children got was that it doesn't matter where people come from, what people look like, who they are. There still can be good people. Oh, that's right. Keturah said that about Forrest Gump. That's why. But I compared it to The Greatest Showman. See? You know? This goes along with the fact that I didn't know Dad's age. I don't know Janelle's birthday. You know, I'm just a mess right now. Forgive me, please, for all of the mistakes that I make and all the things that I say wrong, because apparently there's a lot of them today. Do not be anxious about anything. Focus on the things that are good, noble, pure, and right. These are things He wants us to do. Whether it be from movies that we watch, focus on the good movies. This is one of those conversations that I've had with my students about. They'll say, you know, hey, Superman's your favorite superhero. Yes, he is. Why? Because as a character, he's designed to bring hope to people. He's not about causing fear. He's not about doing this. He's there to inspire people to be better. And to me, that's something pure and noble. Now, do the comic book writers always remember that? No. No, they don't. They're human. They're not great at that. Movie writers are especially bad at that. But the concept of the character to inspire others, he gets that concept and he gets that idea from who Jesus was. Jesus came to earth to inspire us to what we can be, to who we should be. And if we're able to take these things and we're able to look at them and say, well, look at how this reflects our Lord and Savior, then we have found something noble and pure to focus on. Yesterday, probably while he was doing the bulletin, my father posted a quote on Facebook. And my response to it was, well, that just kind of fits my frame of mind because of the time I was writing my lesson. And the quote was by Leo Tolstoy. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's going to make in the bulletin now. It didn't. Just so you know, it's not in there. It says, "In the name of God, stop a moment, cease your work, look around you." And one of the important parts of that isn't just cease your work and look around you. It's not just stop and smell the roses. That's one of those things about that mindfulness training is it's just stop and pay attention to your breathing for a minute. But it starts with, in the name of God. Who made it so that you can breathe without even thinking about it? God did. Isn't it wonderful all of the things that God has done for us that we don't even notice most of the time? You know, we have grass and trees, and those things constantly are making it so that we can breathe. Even though frequently we don't treat them with any proper respect. Stop and smell the roses, but take a moment to remember who made those roses smell nice. Who gave you the ability to smell so that you could enjoy it? Who gave you the eyes so that you could see the beauty? Sometimes what we need to do is not so much escape reality, but to immerse ourselves in it so that we can have a better appreciation of the one who gave it all to us. In Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, we have a story. And I'm not going to read the story because the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah is pretty long. But in this story, Jeremiah is in prison because he keeps telling people Jerusalem's going to fall to the Babylonians. And so there he is. He's trapped. He's stuck. He can't go anywhere. And one of his relatives comes up to him and says, "Hey, I've got this field. And currently the field is taken over by the Babylonians. We don't even have access to it. But you're my nearest relative, so would you buy it for me, please?" Now, I'm not big into real estate, but generally speaking, buying a piece of property that is currently under the control of a foreign power doesn't seem like a great investment to me. But God told Jeremiah this is going to happen by the field. So what does Jeremiah do? He buys the field. And then he takes the deed and he hides it. Because he says, this is what's going to happen. Yes, the Babylonians control it. Yes, this is the way these things are right now. But there will be a day when once again the kingdom of Judah, the land of the Israelites, will belong to God's people again. And when that happens, it's my field. And this was his saying, I trust God. He knew that even though you have this thing that right now is worthless, or appears to be worthless, in time God was going to take it, and if he hid it with God, then it was going to be worth something great. We do this kind of thing all the time. Mike Babb actually just mentioned it a second ago with health insurance. Hopefully we never have to use it, but we pay for it just in case something happens. And yes, I pay a lot more for it than I would like. Fortunately, my job pays a rather large chunk of it, so I don't have to worry too much about it. But I know a lot of people where that has become a major financial issue for them over the last several years, since it became mandated, because that made prices go up. And that's a huge issue. But we also do it with life insurance, homeowners insurance. All of these things that we get that we call insurance are there just in case something happens. Some people, their insurance is they've taken money and they've stuffed it underneath the mattress. That's their insurance. That's how they know things will be okay, is they've got something stockpiled away. I just finished listening to a book called The Hiding Place, which is part of what got the whole set of ideas going on here. Corrie ten Boom. She lived in Holland, in Harlem. And somewhat accidentally, but primarily because of the nature of her family and the fact that she was unwilling to let other people suffer if she could do anything about it, she ended up part of the underground, helping Jews hide, helping them get food, doing all of this out of her little watch repair shop with her father. And she was in her 50s or 60s at the time. And her father was in his 70s or 80s at the time. And eventually, of course, they were caught by the Germans, because the Germans controlled the whole area. And she ended up in concentration camps. And the thing that kept her going wasn't reading. It wasn't video games. It wasn't little fidget toys. It was that everywhere she looked, she saw the hand of God. Because for her entire life, her father had made sure that she knew the scriptures, forwards and backwards. And the one thing that she really wanted whenever she was in prison was a copy of the Bible. And whenever she'd say, well, how in the world am I supposed to love a world that is this desolate, a world that is this depraved? She'd look and she'd say, well, I guess I see how God did it. He sent his son to die for us. And instead of having a specific location that was a hiding place, she did have a hiding place in her house. But when she had nothing else left, she knew the final hiding place that she had was she could hide herself in the Lord. And he would take care of her no matter what the situation was. And there are many other stories that are similar to that kind of idea. And sometimes, for us, in this world, in this land that we live in, it can be hard for us to remember that we need that hiding place. Some of the best work the devil does is to keep us so busy that we forget what the truly important things are, what the most important thing is. We take so much time in our active lives with our work days that are anywhere from 8 to 13 hours that we forget to have a little talk with Jesus, to make him the place that we rest, because he has promised us rest in him. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 and 7, so this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. Unless we built it upon that rock. Jesus alludes to this exact same idea when he talks about the wise man who built his house on the rock. And he says there that the rock is his words. The things that he was saying. He is the rock. And if we build our lives upon him, we have no reason to panic. It's why Jesus can look at us and tell us, do not be anxious about anything. It's why Paul said, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. He is our hiding place. And we can choose to build upon him, or we can choose to ignore him. But if we do, when the rains come down and the waters rise, we have nothing left but shifting sand as our foundation. And that house will collapse. Psalm 32, 6 and 7. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Nowhere ever does God say that we're not going to suffer here in this world. Part of the memory verse right now is, blessed are you when people persecute you. When people say all kinds of evil things about you. But we know that we have a hope, not in this world, but in the world to come. And if we build on the right foundation, not the shifting sands of whatever is pleasant right now, but upon the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is, then we will have a firm hiding place for ourselves, for our souls, and hopefully for those around us as well. So let us strive then to build upon that foundation and that foundation alone. If anybody needs help getting to that foundation, this church, the Church of Christ, is ready and willing to help them get to that foundation. And you have the opportunity to come forward now as we sing the invitation song.